described later on. The conditions for gateway license is that a operator must have interception capabilities. Our law enforcement agencies must have access to networks in the event that we believe that an offense has been committed. So that's one of the main conditions for issuing a gateway license. The second condition is the hubs must be located in the country. We must control the traffic locally. We don't want companies to locate their hubs in Hong Kong or in Perth, in Australia. They must come here. The applications license, these are licenses that gives rights to operators to provide actual ICT services, like ISPs. They have this type of license to provide data services. The network license gives the rights to operators to install infrastructure, roll out infrastructure for people to provide ICT services. Class licensing is for own use. These are mainly mining companies who provide ICT services for their own for their own use. And content license, these are the broadcasters, the television and the radio broadcasters. As you know, currently we have a number of television stages, stations in the country. There are two television channels that are going to be introduced by July this year. I don't want to preempt the announcements. That's up to the respective operators to make the announcements. I think these copies of the slides are with you. These are some of the activities that we have done just to address the interview in the market. So I'll go straight on to the some of the regulatory activities that we are currently undertaking, so as to give you an idea of where we are. Last week, Tuesday, we issued a report on the public inquiry that we recently undertook to investigate possibilities of making it compulsory for infrastructure sharing and also facilitating for national roaming. The inquiry report has been concluded. The report was released last Tuesday. The findings of the report is that at this stage of development, we don't think we should intervene. We should not make a recommendation to the minister to declare for compulsory infrastructure sharing. The reason being that there is still growth in the market. Operators are still rolling out infrastructure. We don't want to stop them from rolling out infrastructure. We are also in the process of rolling out the universal access pilot project. And also, if we intervene at this stage, it may lead to disinvestment. We will stop investment in the sector. The other reasons as specified in the report is that for us to intervene, we must comply with six criteria. Unfortunately, the study results show that we only meet four criteria. And the criteria are for competition objective and for efficiency objective. For competition objective, unfortunately, doesn't meet any of the criteria. So if we make it compulsory for operators to share infrastructure at the stage of the development, we will not. We will actually be stopping competition in the market. The only two criteria that the study has shown that it complies or fulfills the criteria is on economic, technical efficiency, and on both for infrastructure sharing and for national roaming. of course, technically, this can be done. That's why it's only those two has been met. You can access this on our website. If you want to read more about them, there are so many things that are on our website. You can actually see what we are doing to try and intervene in the market. The next one that we have done is we are also looking at possibilities of declaring the other wholesale services. These are the facilities that operators use to provide ICT services in the market, whether we should intervene. And that inquiry was commenced in December, is still currently underway. I'm going to take you back to one of the area. In March last year, we undertook a public inquiry to look at possibilities of declaring a wholesale service. And this is mainly in respect of the submarine cables. As you know, currently, PNG has two cable landings on the A-Bank cable that lands at Elabits and the spin cable that lands in Medeng. Our study showed that Telecom, due respect to Peter Lobo and our colleague from Telecom who just came in, throughout the years, unfortunately, his pricing as a deterrent to allow for open competition on access to the cables. And the price that Telecom were charging was very high, and that's why our cost of ICT services in the country was very high. And we intervened, and we have now made the international connectivity is now a declared service. What this means now is that Telecom must apply the general pricing principles, which is the item specified there. And the pricing principle is that Telecom must not discriminate against anybody. It must charge a price that is competitive, and it must be cost-based. If any of the parties agree by a price being offered by Telecom, they come to Victor and we do an inquiry. They must justify. So, if you recall, soon after we made the declaration, Telecom made a public announcement that they were reducing wholesale rates by 70%. Unfortunately, that did not translate into reality, so we are still talking to Telecom. And that has also led to some issues with some of the ISPs who lowered their price, thinking that it was actually a 70% reduction in the price, where in actual fact it was not. One of the other results of us intervening in the wholesale market was that straight after the declaration, diesel signed on for 2 SDM1 out of the day. Our study showed that prior to our intervention, utilization levels on the cable was very low, up to 50%. And the reason being that we have proven because of telephone pricing, this was being used as a price deterrent, not to allow competition access. So the end result of that was that we had ISPs and other operators who were linking up to the satellite for connectivity. And satellite, for those of all of you know, is the most expensive connectivity that you can, whereas the cable is much faster, it's a lot of bandwidth, and it's much cheaper. So, following on from there, I think all of you know, cost of internet in the country is very high. We all know, we all suffer the effects of that. Unfortunately, from our intervention in the wholesale market, we are not seeing the prices are coming down. There is no, the results are not happening. So next month, we are going to initiate a public inquiry to find out why that is not happening. price reduction is not happening, although we have intervened at the wholesale. The retail market, the price is still the same. In fact, I think this hotel is, access to internet here is one of the most expensive. And all of us, including myself, we all suffer. The businesses suffer, the individuals suffer, the schools are suffering. So that's why we are not now going to intervene. There's a public outcry that the cost of internet service in the country is so expensive. In fact, I am the chairman of one of our regional organizations based in Suwa, Fiji, the Pacific Islands Regional Regulatory Center, where we do a lot of benchmarking. We have proven from benchmarking that PNG, unfortunately, both our penetration levels are very low, our cost of ICT services are very, very high. The only countries that are higher than us are those countries on the northern part of the Pacific. And the reason is for them is they don't have any submarine connectivity. Palau, FSM, Marshalls, Guam. Otherwise, in comparison to Vanuatu, to Fiji, to Samoa, to Tonga, we are very expensive. And then when you look at the amount of money that is being spent by an individual on disposable income on ICT, PNG is very, very high. Yet our people can afford to spend money on ICT because they want to have access to ICT. So that's why we want to intervene. Related to the inquiry into the price of internet services in the country is we are also going to establish an internet exchange point. This is a clearinghouse. Currently, unfortunately, all the traffic, both local and overseas, is going out of the country and coming back. That's why it's expensive. So the exchange IXP is like a clearinghouse where the local traffic is built in. It stays in the country, it doesn't go out. So we have identified a partner that's going to fund the installation of the IXP. And then the only issue for us now is to find out the location where we need to locate it. This week, you may have seen in the papers, we released the a consultation paper on data collection. It's a very detailed data collection that we want all service providers, all operators to provide on quality of service, type of service, subscriber numbers, dropout rates, and even to the extent of how many computers are being sold out there, because we want to know this. We need this data to assist us and other government agencies for national planning purposes. At the moment, it's very ad hoc data is available. So this consultation paper was issued on Tuesday this week. I can access it from our website. Unfortunately, when we open up the market, there's been also negative effects. One of these is on the use of SIM cards. We all know sometimes you receive stupid messages from people. You don't know who they are. You don't know the number. This has also led to problems, also problems in the country. There are 4 million subscribers now in the country. We don't know who owns the SIM cards. So we are now going to make it compulsory that everyone, every SIM card must be identified to a person. So the regulations is now People Cabinet to approve the regulations for us to make it compulsory. We will provide initially for only identification. But one of the operators, they've gone one step further. They're going to introduce pool biometric. So when you go to get a SIM, you get your photo taken as well as your fingerprint. So we will identify who a particular number belongs to. So for new customers, 3 months after the regulations come into force, they must have full bio and full basic identification. For those of you who are existing customers, we are going to give you 18 months from date of implementation. After 18 months, you don't register, we will force the operators to disconnect. Then you go back and register yourself. Again, related to use of ICT, we all know at the moment, unfortunately, use of ICT, there are also negative effects. So we have now formulated a policy that's now before cabinet on cybersecurity, cybercrime. It will now provide for safe security of data in the for cyber data. And also we are going to make it an offense that if you abuse ICT services, either through the social media, you are going to be accountable and responsible. You'll be committing an offense. And it's not the intention to go to the extreme of what is happening in Turkey. I think those of you following the news know that Turkey has recently banned YouTube and Twitter, but public reaction, I think, is they don't want it. We want to have some effective use of ICT services. We also want to ensure the, especially for e-commerce, where ICT services are being utilized for e-commerce, financial data is protected. But for those who abuse the privilege of using ICT service, making defamatory statements, slanderous statements, without base or using pen names, you will be, it's an offense once this legislation comes in. Once the legislation comes in, the law enforcement agencies will have powers to have access to data being stored by mobile operators, by service providers, including your personal laptop. If we have reason to believe that your laptop is the device that's been used to commit an offense, the law enforcement agencies will use the powers under this legislation to go and have access to your laptop and your mobile phone. I'm almost there. Okay. Okay, 2 minutes. The last one, second last is on, as I said earlier, we are using so many licenses out there. There are only very few service providers out there. Some have not even made any progress to go out there and use their licenses. So we are now going to do an audit. Una and his team are now basically going to go and knock on all the doors where they have specified their offices are supposed to be located, find out what the status of the implementation is, because we don't want to be seen to be issuing only licenses. People have to actually use their licenses to go and roll out services and provide ICT services. Because it's a competitive market, our expectation is that at the end of the day, there is effective and fair competition, the price must come down, the service quality will improve. The last item is, I think all of us know, it's also reflected here. There's a great imbalance, gender imbalance in the ICT sector. In my own office, out of 100 engineers and technical officers, I only have 3 female officers, 3. So as part of the ITU initiative, NICTA is also pushing for girls in ICT. We want to encourage more young girls, especially at secondary testing level, to take careers in ICT in the ICT sector. So this month is when we are going to celebrate the Girls in ICT, and I'll be launching a scholarship to try and facilitate the young girls to pursue studies in the ICT sector. So with that, thank you very much. I think my contact is there. I also encourage that you do a lot of inquiries. Unfortunately, the response we get from the public, who are mostly affected by the impact of ICT, you don't get any response. So please, if we issue a discussion paper, please comment. At the moment, we are only getting it from DCCF, from Telecom, from B-Mobile, from National Institute Research Institute, but we would encourage members of the public, please, can you provide some comments? Because we are very much guided by the input we get from you. So thank you with that. Thank you once again for allowing me to summarize. I think I said too much. Thank you.